This episode is brought to you by Marshmallow Surprise. It's a webcomic about awful things happening to and often unsuspecting marshmallows. It's a silly, goofy, little dark, and just plain fun for most ages. And you can find that at marshmallowsurprise.com.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, so shut up.
So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. It just...
You're trying to get rid of a nice boy image I gave you at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, I have one of those.
Yes. A nice boy image?
Do I?
Yeah, you're kind of a teddy.
Well, he doesn't have a nice boy image. He kind of has an innocent boy image.
He's kind
I
of
thought
a
it
teddy.
Was a loser boy image.
No, you've got the teddy thing going.
Teddy? What do you mean?
Friendly.
Like a teddy bear.
You know, like somebody you want to snug.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you
Maybe
mean?
That's
oh.
my problem.
Well, because he's not looking for snug.
You have to start somewhere. Snug can turn into snuggling, which can turn into a little kissy-kissy.
But it's so feely, much better feely. If you can find somebody that skips steps.
And then maybe a little pokey-pokey. I don't know. Anyway, so this is the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. This is episode 202. We're going to try to do a call-in episode today. But I am the main host, Fess, of... What the fuck do I do? And we also
.com.
have...
.com.
Yes. Tanya Higgins of DaisiesAndShitProductions.com here.
Hello, hello.
And Mark, little boy Savory of AutumnLake.com, apparently.
Oh.
Well, hello there.
See, the voice throws you off.
It throws me off.
Hey Mark, can you sing?
Yeah.
Can you sing a bar of Chocolate Rain?
Oh gosh,
I don't know that song.
Okay,
thank God.
That's fine.
Oh, that might have turned me off permanently.
Right.
That's
yeah.
sad. My singing does
have.
No, it's the song.
Okay, so it looks like we have a couple of people in the chat room who previously said that they wanted to be on the show, that they have a hiatus and return story to tell. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit here. Just want to set a primer up for this. This is normally when we try to do a call-in show, the call-in part doesn't seem to happen too often. But I have been trying to play up this episode for a while, so hopefully people are coming in and listening. I already tweeted. Hopefully people know that things are going on right now. Otherwise, we're just going to do as the best we can with this episode. And we didn't get any people... We didn't get anybody calling into our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Nobody called and left a story or a message.
Oh.
But we did get three emails, and two of them are in the chat room, so they can't claim they're not knowing that they were going to be here.
It's too late now, people.
So, but I want to start off a little bit. How are you guys doing? It feels like it's so far in between our shows, so we don't really chat.
I'm fine.
I guess.
You know, how are things, you know? Anything exciting happening? Anything new?
School started up again, so there's nothing exciting happening ever. I'm working all the time. I'm 2 credits shy of a full course load this year, so...
Aww.
Ouch.
Mark, what about you?
I started making some stereo views.
What's that?
Oh yeah.
I suppose I could have just bought a camera to do it, but I got a couple of cheap little point and shoots instead.
You tape them together or something?
Well, I got the only thing I really bought. Well, I bought the cameras, but
yeah.
The real stereo thing I bought was it's a bar that goes on your tripod, and it allows you to mount 2 cameras.
Ah.
So they're just 2 little point and shoots, and I mean, I suppose if I had thought about it, I would have looked for a stereo camera itself, which they're only like $350.
Oh,
yeah.
So it would have been a little bit more money, but a little less hassle. I don't know. I may get one eventually. But yeah, so I've been making some stereo views and anaglyphs and stuff like that.
Cool.
So there.
Are you posting them anywhere?
Oh, they're on Flickr. Where am I Flickr?
Is it a public, like you have a public link?
Yeah.
Yeah, get us a link to that.
I tweeted it.
If you can find a link during the show, send it to us so we can get it for our listeners.
Okay.
Let's see here. Speaking of photographs, Melissa and I went up to, there's a bunch of Minnesota state parks along Lake Superior. And we basically went up the highway and stopped off at, I think we ended up stopping off at 5 to do at least some hiking. Like, not all the hiking that was available. Because that'd be crazy. It wouldn't be that crazy, but we wouldn't be able to see as many places because we only had a couple of days. And if you want pictures of waterfalls, forget it.
Why?
There's so many waterfalls over there in that area.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we don't have to deal with film anymore either. I mean, we took like 600-700 photos at different parks. We had to have taken 100 pictures of a bunch of butterflies in this one spot because there's like 12 of them. So we're sitting here just click, 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 click. You're just like, it's a movie, don't get back in the sun. Click, click, click. Oh, it was fun.
I was thinking about that the other day, actually, how much better it is that you don't have to dick around with handling the film. You don't have to send it off and wait and get it back. And then maybe there's a print you want, so you have to send it off again and you blah, 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 blah. And you only have 24 or 12 or 36 shots or whatever the hell. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, and it costs you like $10 with the
film
and then develop.
Like six or seven years ago, Stephen and I went to Garden of the Gods in Cave of the Winds in Colorado Springs. And I brought I have actually a professional camera setup. Like $2,000 worth of Canon equipment from long ago, Aves. But it's, you know, it's all film. And so I took it out there and was taking pictures. And at one point, the winding grips slipped on the film and I had to have him lock me in the trunk. I had to have him like close me in the trunk as like a little mini dark room so that I could get the film out and put new film in. And he's like banging on the trunk going, people think I'm kidnapping you. Hurry up, hurry up. They're going to call the police. It was great.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about that anymore. And it's also more environmentally friendly. There's no, you don't have any chemicals or any of that crap. You could take as many pictures you want. I mean, you got a battery and LCD screen. Those aren't really great for the environment and some plastics. No. But way better than all the chemicals and acids and stuff. So,
yeah.
And they last longer. And
And they're at a point now where they're comparable or even better than film. So, they never used to be, but now they are. So, okay.
The equipment's cheaper, too. $2,000 in digital equipment would look a heck of a lot different than the $2,000 I have in film equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I got a Pentax KR because I have some lenses that should fit it. Whether they work or not, I don't know. Mm.
Can you use like regular lenses with the digital cameras?
It's all the same type of lens. What's different?
I kind of assumed.
What's different is the sensor. If you want a digital camera that works the same way as a film camera, as far as how light comes into it, you'd have to get a full sensor, which I have a Rebel, which is like the cheapest, it's like level one of the digital cameras that use, you know, the swappable lenses.
Right.
They're like you know $300 to $500 depending on which model you get. That's only like a quarter sensor. So when you're figuring out like the ISO,
it requires some math.
It requires more light, basically. And then like there's like
you need to do math.
There's like the $2,500, $3,000 digital cameras that have the full sensor.
And then there's the entry-level digital SLRs are are not full size, but you can work your way up to like a 3/4. I think that's the term, a 3/4 lens or a sensor. Mine's like APC or APS or something. I don't know what the hell it stands for, but it's probably not a full on. Yeah, it's more the size of the mirror than in your old Pentax K1000. It's the size of the.
Well, so with the Pentax, did you get like, did you just get the body only, or did you get the one with like the zoom lens, or?
They have like little standard. I bought a kit that had two zoom lenses, so 18 to 55 millimeter and 50 to 200. But that's not exactly the same thing, I don't think, as the old film manual.
No, but that's all right.
I got
my old ones will fit on it. Whether or not I can get any decent pictures that way, I don't know, because they're kind of crappy. But I have a Russian fisheye.
Ooh.
And I was toying with that as with my old Pentax K1000. So I can mount it on this camera just for funsies to see what it does.
See what happens.
But anyway.
So anyway, webcomics.
Do those?
Well, actually, we do have an episode on photocomics for those interested, where I think it's just me interviewing one of the people that work on Night Zero as a post-apocalyptic zombie comic. Well,
and the superhero comic from, I believe, Germany, right? That's a photocomic as well. We have a show for that.
I think we had them on. As a separate show. I forget. I know we had them both on.
We definitely did.
We did.
There were two separate shows.
Two separate shows.
Actually, didn't we have the zombie guys on twice?
We might have had them on for that show as well.
We had the German hero guy on twice too. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the first one was just a showcase episode for, and we looked at just them, and then we later did a full on photo webcomics show, in which they came back for. I think that sounds about right.
Now this is interesting. I talked to a guy. Talked to a guy online a couple days ago. He's going to do a photo comic. He doesn't have it yet, but he's setting it up. He's going to do it with a 3D camera.
Ooh.
So it's going to be a 3D comic, whatever it's about, photo comic.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's interesting. So maybe when he gets it up and running, maybe we can have him on and talk about that. But anyway,
just let me know so I can work things into the schedule. It's starting to fill up a bit here and there. So I'm trying to find our first call-in person to have. First call-in, the first person. Well, I'm professional here at the Webcomic Beacon, here at the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. Speaking of which, there is going to be a new program coming this month. Ooh. In which myself, Melissa Kircher, and Marcus Almond are going to be doing a new show called First Issue. It's going to Mark. What are you doing?
He's reacting.
We're gonna start with the 52 DC comic reboots, and we're gonna try to do it as a video. And the point is, if it goes beyond the 52 reboot. Beyond the DC 52 issues, it's supposed to be a look at the first issue, as in the number one of a comic, or the first issue of a particular storyline. So there could be retro reviews in here of comic books. Basically, the point is to see, does this comic succeed or fail in selling a reader into actually continuing wanting to read the story? And, you know, Marcus is a big comic book reader. Melissa's actually worked in the industry and knows people in the industry, and I'm a person that hasn't read. I've read two comic books ever,
and except for two really crappy ones.
Yeah, and it's going to be kind of a trial by fire. We're just going to see how it goes, and it's like
waiting for them to have Richie Rich Volume One, right?
Oh gosh,
or Wendy Volume One? Is that what you're really hoping for?
Yeah,
to talk about that.
Barbie Adventures,
maybe. So it's
Gem.
It's called.
Maybe they'll bring Amethyst back. I mean,
It's called First Issue, and it should be coming out sometime this month. Of course, Melissa's actually gone for like half the month, almost literally, at other conventions and events. She's at Dragon Con right now, and is going to Fantastic Fest later this month. So this is a busy month for her. But let's see here. Anyway. We are going to take our first break, since that's what the time is showing up. When we come back, we're going to start with calls.
Hey,
How about that? Oh, Twitter page. Oh, boy.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, we have a couple of milestones we have to go over. First up, Zombie Boy Comics has hit its first anniversary, so congratulations on that. That's at zombieboycomics.com. Another one is also the Superpower Union has hit 100 strips, and that's at thesuperpowerunion.com. Congratulations on your milestones. Oops. I want to make a special mention for a convention, online convention called DigiCon. The thing is that DigiCon used to be called NonCon. It was supposed to be like a convention online that happened in kind of like rebuttal of the actual conventions that people couldn't go to, such as San Diego Comic Con. And I said I would read this out for them. So let's see here. Because they had to change the name, because apparently NonCon has some other connotation that probably wouldn't be good to continue to go with. So DigiCon is here for everyone to enjoy instead of what it was previously named. And let's see here. You can find more information at thedigicon.com. I'm going to read its press release here. DigiCon is the first dedicated virtual Comic-Con featuring web and print comic creators, artists, and writers. DigiCon brings the con to you with live video chat, panels, commissions, free sketches, and comics, and a comics megastore with prints, shirts, books, original art, back issues, and more. DigiCon is the brainchild of Ryan Fisher of Gin and Comics and Casey Curtis, who couldn't make it to San Diego Comic-Con this year, and neither could a lot of other people. So they started to realize that there were creators and fans who would never get to attend such a con because of where they lived, and honestly, that sucks. They were lucky enough to live in Seattle, the home of Emerald City Comic-Con, a mecca of geekery, and we want others to be able to experience, and at least in a small way, the fun of attending a Comic-Con, meeting creators, sitting on panels, buying merch, and that's the experience they're striving to provide here. The next one coming up is going to be September 10th to 11th, 2011. Marks their full-scale con, and they're stoked to see where it takes them. They hope you'll join them, and DigiCon isn't just meant to be just a one-time-a-year thing. It's, because they've already had one, and this is their full-scale con, and they could most conceivably have another DigiCon, this year and next year yet. So, again, for more information, go to thedigicon.com.
Breakfast is for people who have free time. Have lunch scheduled in, but it's not quite the same thing.
I look around my desk for crumbs.
I will do just about anything to make sure I eat. Food is important to me. Schedule or no, I'm eating breakfast.
Oh,
just saying.
I had to usher a bunch of people out of my house this morning, so that was what my morning was.
I understand.
All right, so here we are. We have Rand Brown from the webcomic The End at endcomic.com. Is that right?
Yep.
And she has, this is, we're doing a call-in show on people's hiatus and returns. So if, well, we're going to first ask you, tell us about your comic.
My comic is basically about the worst rescue mission ever. There are a large group of aliens that decided that for whatever reason, Earth is in imminent danger of kind of self-imploding. And they decide to rescue a large body of people and relocate them to a new planet. But something goes horribly wrong, and our two of our protagonists, aliens, Endy and Ethma, end up at a sci-fi convention, which is like probably the worst place ever. And just as things are kind of looking like they might be going good, everything kind of explodes. Like, literally, their mothership explodes and they're stranded. So they're trying to figure out what's happening right now, I guess. Right. I am not the writer. I am mostly the artist. I'm just like, oh, how to explain this?
It's very well done.
Excellent. All right.
Did we lose Fess?
Sorry, I had just got a phone call I had to take.
Not even paying attention.
I already read your comic. I know what it's about.
Excellent.
So it's not only in my bookmarks, but I am also caught up, which is good because there's a lot of comics in my bookmarks that I have not even read from the beginning yet because I don't have the time. But I really like the art,
and thank you.
You have really good use of light.
Yeah, probably one of the things that I have mostly always been good at. It's just everything else that needs, like, constant upgrading.
Additionally, we're going to try to... you're part of a new collective.
Yep.
And we're going to try to get a show, at least an EP, if anything else, of the people of this collective, and we'll talk more about this at a later date. And maybe have you on the show for when we do the End of the Worlds episode. So did you already go over your hiatus and return story?
No.
All right, then we're going there next.
Oh no.
So tell us what happened, what led up to you going on hiatus.
Okay, my hiatus, I should probably qualify this with, the end has never been on hiatus, except for, like, a week where my computer was broken, but I've been doing webcomics for probably about 10 years now, just on and off.
Okay.
And when I started out, I was doing a black and white manga-style comic called Ransom, and it was actually the number one comic on Smack Jeeves' rankings for about 2 years before it got bumped down. But part of that was because I went on hiatus. I basically got to the point where, like, I just never updated consistently, but I had a really large following and a lot of traffic. I got about 50 pages in, and I guess maybe 2 years of actually doing the comic, and I decided that I was really unsatisfied with the way that I was telling the story because I'm first and foremost not a writer. That was one of the things that when I started the end, I was like, I'm going to need someone else to write this for me because I will start this over about 50 times if I am writing it myself. So, I mean, I started off knowing absolutely nothing. So when I asked my audience, like, would you mind if I decided to go on hiatus and maybe, you know, get my stuff in order, maybe restart? For the most part, they were fairly understanding. But I took maybe... it was something around like 6 months to a year off of that comic. And the only reason I came back was because I was afraid that if I stayed off anymore, I would come back to no audience. So I ended up restarting it and I still wasn't happy with it at all. Just like how the story was telling. Like, I think I started like in a different place in a different, I guess, important plot point, and it wasn't doing it for me. So right about that time, I actually was promoted to administrator at Smack Jeeves, and I was one of the three active administrators on the site, so I had a lot of extra work to do. Yeah. And people started asking me to be a speaker on conventions because by that point if there was a question that had been asked about webcomics and starting your own webcomics, I probably have answered it about 500 times. So basically, I went to a convention in Toronto, Canada, Anime North, and was speaking on a how to make webcomics panel. And that was where I met Lar D'Souza from Least I Could Do, Looking for Group Gutters and all that stuff. And when I met him, he was actually like, I took the time to like read through your comic, and I think it's really, really good. And he gave me a lot of pointers. And one of the things that he said to me that really stuck out is you have to enjoy what you're doing. And I guess at that point I was like, wow, I don't enjoy what I am doing. So that's unfortunate. So I got home and I immediately went on hiatus again. And I was like, I need to sort myself out. So it literally took me about a year of designing and trying to decide what I wanted to do. And when I finally came back, I was like, I'm ending this comic. And people were not happy. And they were actually even less happy when I started up the end, because it was a completely different style from the original comic that they had been following. And I think I probably lost all of my audience, with like the exception of maybe like, you know, 10-15 people that I was just good friends with because of like interacting with them through Smack Jeeves. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, I'd like to say that I was really sad that I had to start from scratch, but at the same time, I think it was like really the boost that I needed to, you know, kind of get better at what I was doing. So, like, I don't regret having to start over, especially, like, I got awesome hate mail. It was really,
really
an interesting thing. Like, I literally had people, like, emailing me or sending me messages on DeviantArt saying, like, oh, I looked up to you, you know, now your comic is all cartoony and horrible, and I think your art is worse. And I was just like, oh, well, that's unfortunate, because I'm not going back.
So,
rage quitters are the best.
Rage
is the best email.
Yeah.
Is Ransom still online somewhere? It sounds familiar.
It was... I had a mirror on Drunk Duck that might actually still be online, but it was terrible. I got featured on Drunk Duck, though, back when they still did features. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, you're on the main page. But I'm pretty sure I eradicated it from the internet like as quickly as I possibly could, with maybe the exception of Drunk Duck, because I don't remember my password.
Yeah, checking it out. No.
And I don't even think I got like the whole thing up there. Like, I gave up on like scheduling posts, and like most of it didn't even make it up there. I've got all the old files somewhere on an old computer that is currently like in a closet upstairs. So.
That's the best kind of storage ever.
Yeah. Well, no, we moved, and then my computer died right before we moved, and then I was like, I'm just going to get a new computer. Screw the old one. So... that was the last I ever saw of that.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, if there's one thing I learned about hiatus is that, you know, if you're going on hiatus because you're unhappy with what you're doing, sometimes no amount of time is going to make your project better, and you should do something that you actually enjoy doing.
Hello. Yeah. Oh, what? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mark. I feel like I said something.
No, that's just Mark being Mark.
Okay.
No, I mean it's a valid point, you know, and
Scott Kurtz was actually talking about this on Google Plus, where he's kind of not feeling it right now with PvP, but he was saying, well, I forget, one of the Penny Arcade guys said to him that he's not enjoying it because he's not actually drawing it, because he's been cutting corners lately I don't want to say cut and paste, but he's been kind of using old strips to quickly try to make the next comic or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand, you know, he's probably a busy guy, but it's, you know, once you get that feel of actually, you know, getting back into it, maybe.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything bad about Scott Kurtz, because he seems to, like, you know, like what he's doing, and it is his full-time job. But, I mean, like, this is currently my full-time job also. So, I mean, you have to have time for doing your comic, like, as best as you possibly can, because that is where you make money.
That is keep where your audience.
Oops, hang on. I think the most important thing is...
Hang on.
What was that? Right.
That is a problem. Hold on. Something happened.
That much we're aware of.
There we go. sorry about that.
Okay, I have no idea what happened.
I apparently wasn't broadcasting the show in the chat room, and nobody said anything until now.
And we're recording it still, so we're
yes,
good.
Yes, yes.
That's not too bad. There's that.
I do think it's also important to know the difference between, you know, a temporary depression, or, you know, you're in a rut a little bit. Those you can push through. If you've been pushing through your rut for 6 months, you're not in a rut.
Yeah.
You don't like what you're doing.
That's one of the reasons why I absolutely don't believe in, like, the kind of never-ending strip that just keeps going on forever as long as you can wring money out of it. Like, everything I plan has an end so I can move on to something cooler. So, I just can't imagine trapping myself in that kind of position where I have to do the same story for the next, like, 10 years of my life.
Well, I have the problem with PSI. It's a never-ending sort of every next strip basically continues from the previous strip. I have very little jump forward in time periods.
Ah.
But when I'm going on, what was it? But I'm also a person that doesn't like to leave a project unfinished, so I can't stop updating despite me frequently having hiatuses. But I always manage to come back. It's just a matter of, you know, I gotta get back into it. You know, I'm not motivated to draw. I'm just kind of, I got used to, I don't have to do anything. But yeah.
I mean, do you take, like, a lot of temporary hiatuses, or just, like, you know, 1 week off, one whatever?
I took one planned 2 week off within the last year, and all the other hiatuses within the last 5 years have been unintentional, and most of them were due to outside things that I couldn't have any control over.
Yeah, I've actually, right now I'm prepping a book, so I'm just like, oh no, I have to take this really seriously. So I found one of the best things so far for making sure that I'm not just like, oh, I need a week off, no comic this week or no comics this week, is I've scheduled, like, every aspect of my life in Google calendars, and it sends me notices on my phone, and I set alarms, and I'm actually, like, way ahead of schedule now, which is baffling because I've only been at it for like a week. So,
but it feels,
I mean, there
really
are obvious
good
ways around, and it really keeps you motivated when you realize you're outputting so much.
Yeah.
But then again, I guess you gotta have time for it. Like, I'm home all day every day because aside from web comics, I definitely do nothing but freelance logo design, website design. So
yeah, quick note for everybody who keeps emailing me and asking me, you know, when the new comic is going to start up. I work full time. I'm almost a full time student, and I have two kids. Fuck off. I do not have the luxury. I was like, it would be great if I could work for myself, or even just do, you know, the job, my day job at home, things like that. Certainly help. But it's also then, I think, for me personally, I'm one of those people that if my schedule isn't full to, you know, capacity, I kind of just go, fuck it. I don't really get around to doing anything.
No, I mean, I can totally understand that, like, not a lot of people are in my situation because, I mean, right now, my writer is also my husband. He works full time at a nice high salary job, which is why I can sit at home all day and do comics. So,
See, and I'm going to school to make Steven a house husband. That's what he wants to be. Eventually, he can sit around and, I don't know, do whatever. We'll get him to do the comic.
There you go.
But, I mean, you make a good point in that knowing yourself is probably very important to any of this. You have to know what kind of person you are, and you have to be honest with yourself about, you know, whether you're overscheduled or whether you need a schedule or, you know, reminders, things like that. If you're not honest with yourself, no matter what you do, it's going to fall apart.
Absolutely. I mean, that works in a lot of different ways, though, too. I mean, like, when I was working on my old comic, I absolutely only updated once a week. And I tried this summer cutting down my schedule with the end to 1 week, and I realized I actually got less done when I was only updating once a week than I do when I was updating twice a week. Because, I mean, each page takes, like, between 8 and, like, 16 hours to finish.
Yeah.
So basically, I was like, okay, no, all right, you're not getting anything done. You have to go back to twice a week. And then my attempt to have a kind of calm summer just didn't happen. So.
It's interesting. I mean, it's a subtle psychological shift, but it does change priority. You know, things that you only do once a week, they're not that important.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
Absolutely. But I mean, like, definitely, like, I was just like, oh, God, I need a break from all this. And then I got my book quotes back from a bunch of different places and decided on a place. And I was like, nope, it is time for work. And now I've just been so motivated and, like, I've been scheduling, like, now is time to sketch for an hour. Like, if that's the kind of thing that keeps you from being like, screw it, nothing gets done this week, I'm taking like a couple weeks off unannounced, like, do it, because it's great.
Yeah.
Just need to recharge a little bit. Well, Ryan, thanks very much for coming on the show and sharing your story. We have a couple more call-ins that we want to get before the end of the show. So we're going to get to them next. Ran, once again, you can find Ran's comic, The End, at endcomic.com. And we'll try to set up some time to get the Open Fire Collective on the show.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Thanks. See you around.
Bye.
All right. Excellent. I think we're going to try Carlo next, of who we're actually going to be having on the show next week. No, not next week. The week after next week. Hang on, we got to remove this person from this group. Check the calendar. Yes, because we're not having a show on the 11th next week. I will be at a convention. I will be at GeekCon for the first time since it actually first started. And it started in a college. And it's moved out of the college now so they can actually earn money. Because otherwise any money they made went back into the college. Because
right.
That's how college conventions work. We're going to try Carlo right now of the webcomic Callus. Not like callus as in like I got like this, you know, this lump of skin on my foot. It's like
callus, hard, cruel.
Yeah. At calluscomics.com. And like I said, we're going to have him on the 18th, as well as Jenner, who does the comic Doc Rat for a show on Doctor webcomics.
Apparently, Fess is concerned that our readership is vocabulary challenged.
I'm vocabulary challenged. I'm saying this for myself to try to think stuff with things with definitions. Anyway.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. especially for how late or early it must be where you live right now.
Yeah, it's 1 a.m. right now.
That's not too bad.
Not that bad, yeah. I'd normally be working on the comic, so it's fine.
Yeah. On the 18th...
We're your enabler for a hiatus. I had to be on the beacon. I couldn't draw tonight.
Yeah. On the 18th, when we have Carlo back, as well as Jenner, since they're both near Australia time zones, we're going to start the show at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to be you know, nice to our guests. Not too late. So you do this webcomic called Callus. Mm-hmm. Are you sure that callus and callus don't actually have different sounds? I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
He's asking if they're pronounced differently, and they are not.
No, I don't think they are.
No, they're not.
Well, anyway, so, Carlo, if you would please tell us about your webcomic, Callus.
Okay, so yeah, I do a webcomic called Callus Comics, and it's basically about a doctor named Dr. Rianne Nika. Most of the time, it's a gag-a-day strip where we pretty much just see Rianne go through the everyday adventures, whether she's in the hospital or up and about or wherever she is. But every now and then... Oh, but in addition to that, she also happens to have a guardian duck named Cal Duck. Now, his purpose in her life is to help guide her to become the best person she could be, because during her time as a medical student and all that, all she did was study, and she never really got the chance to explore herself or the world around her. And but yeah, having a guardian duck there does sort of have a fantasy aspect to the whole thing. So every now and then, I guess like once a year, I do a big fantasy story that involves Rianne. But it's pretty much just the life and times of Dr. Rianne Nika, whether medical or not.
Now, in the comic, you have animal characters. Are these imaginary characters? Or because I can't tell if she's hiding them sometimes. Or
No. Anyone can see them. So she doesn't want to be seen walking around with them. So they pretty much just stay at her home so she could still live a normal life.
Okay. Now, you said it's normally gag a day, but sometimes you have to make these stories. Now, I think you just kind of finished this crazy fantasy sort of, what the hell is going on? Is this another dimension? Is this happening in her mind? Sort of were these sequences always planned, or was this something that kind of that came later? You know what? I need to spice things up a bit. I'm going to go to and have this epic battle and...
During the time that I am doing the Gagaday, I do like in the background do write these epic storylines and they are really happening. They're all happening to her. In fact, the last one was because my wife said Rianne should have a boyfriend by now and all that. So, and he's going to have to find out about all these fantastic characters in her life. So I just thought of the most amazing way he could find out about everything, and that's it.
Interesting. It's like, you know, all or nothing. jump in head first. There we go. So in your email, you said you were on hiatus for a few years.
Yeah.
So tell us about let me back up a bit. Now, on your website, you've had. You celebrated 15 years. I'm going to guess you're maybe counting the years that were in between that were on hiatus, but you say it from 1996 to 2011. Was it always a webcomic?
No, it wasn't always a webcomic. The series started in 1996 in my college paper. Okay. And back then it was just, you know, your average college situation comedy, and Rianne was just one of the side characters. She wasn't even really the main character back then. And I did start a website in 1997 just as an archive of the strips that were published in the paper. And then when I got into med school, that's when I sort of got one of my side characters, made her the main character, and made her a med student because that's what I was going through. And the series mascot, who was Cal Duck, I brought him into the actual continuity, and I made him her guardian duck. And I guess because while I was a med student, I was going through a really introspective stage, and it came out in the comic. And in 2004, I was entering my fourth year of medical school, and it was the most... I basically just didn't have time to draw any more comics or even think about it for that matter. So, not voluntarily, I just couldn't make any more comics. So I stopped doing that. I left the school paper, and... because I did join the school paper in my med school as well, and I brought the series with me over there.
Ah.
And, sorry, I left that part out.
No.
But then after med school, I went through, it's a requirement here in my country to go through a year of clinical internship. And I couldn't do any comics then. And by that time, I was already thinking that I was never going to be able to do it anymore. And being a doctor would be pretty much my life. And a couple of years later, I got married, had a kid. But the series never really left me. I would still doodle it. And even on my wedding cake, which I sort of conceptualized... the cake toppers, which was pretty much myself and my wife. We were on the top, and then we had our own little guardian ducklings alongside us. Yeah. And I guess when I entered my residency, I think it was in 2009 when there was just one of those rare days where I wasn't doing anything. I just surfed the web. I checked my old website, and I got really frustrated with it, so I transferred everything to a new host. And there I found it really easy to update, so I thought, hey, why not, you know, make a new comic strip? So I did, and then I sort of dared myself to try and make one strip a day. And so every weekday, yeah, I would make a comic strip. I'd put it online, and even at that time, I never even heard of the term webcomic yet. I didn't know there was an audience out there for this stuff. I didn't know that there were other webcomics out there. I wasn't even reading any. And but then there came a point where, okay, I'm making all this effort in making a comic. I want people to actually read it. Yeah. So I started looking up online, like how to promote a website or a comic, an online comic. And that's when this whole universe of webcomics just opened up to me. Whoa, there's so much out there. And but the nice thing was a lot of you guys just blazed the trail already, so you made it really easy for me to get into the whole community of webcomics. And it's been great, a great ride so far.
Excellent.
And that was the end of my hiatus.
There you go, yeah. Have you been on hiatus since, or have you still been updating since 2009, I think? Still chugging at it.
Hello.
Oh, we lost him. Let's try to get him back. Oh,
there we go.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, I'm back.
Yay.
Hi. I don't know what happened there.
you fell off the face of the planet.
I blame Fess.
I was asking if you've gone on hiatus ever since you came back.
Just little short ones, like a couple of days, or I think the longest one I had since then was maybe a month, where I was still in residency and I was doing a rotation in another hospital for a special procedure, and I didn't know at that time whether or not I would be able to make any more comics during my time in that other hospital. Mm-hmm. So I opened my site up for guest comics, and you know, I got a good number. So wow. I was still able to keep the site alive, but but during that time I wasn't making any comics.
All right. Well, that sounds still pretty good. I mean, you're updating them 5 times a week, and that's
officially the best excuse I've ever heard for a hiatus for a webcomic. Oh, I'm a doctor, and I was doing a residency at another hospital. Usually, it's like, oh, I don't know, it was summer.
Yeah, I was helping people to live. What? Yeah. Oh, you need to go.
I was learning special procedures at a guest hospital. You win the internet.
Well, Carl, thank you very much for coming on the show. And of course, we'll see you again in a couple of weeks. You can read Callus Comics at calluscomics.com. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
See ya.
Bye.
So all right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, and now we're going to go to another break. And
that makes me insanely happy as an excuse. Sorry you didn't get your webcomic today, guys, but
I was in surgery.
Yeah. Saving lives.
Saving lives.
Changing the world.
Well, there we go. And with that, we're going to break.
How about sharing one more coconut cream pie? How about skinny dipping down by the shore? How about spending How about having Orson or Don Wells direct? Thank you, Gallagher. Thank you, Skipper. Thank you, Gender Professor. Thank you, Marianne. Thank you, Howells. Thank you, thank your work, Schwartz.
That was Thank You, Gilligan by Money Shot Cosmonauts, found at The Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
My excuses are so lame.
I tried to find a really good bad excuse just to be funny, but I couldn't think of any bad excuse. I couldn't think of any good excuse that was bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so my cat threw up in my shoe. I had to clean it out. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I
had to wash my hair kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, every bad date excuse you
I drank
heard.
Too much last night.
Oh, that one gets used a lot.
Boo-hoo. We have one more guest to bring on the show, and these are all the people that had emailed me, so it's like, yes, follow through, and they're going to be here. So the next person actually is, I've met her a couple of times and at the Minnesota conventions. Her name is, she actually, I'm not sure what she goes by, but I'm pretty sure she goes by Voss Little Crow. But we'll ask and find out as soon as she is, maybe she's not, oh, I didn't tell her. I'm just calling her. Oh, wait.
Hello?
Hello!
I go by Voss Little Crow.
Well, there we go. I was right.
Yeah, well, Tonowitz is my last name, but I prefer just Voss Little Crow. Or Voss, if you're lazy and don't want to pronounce all those syllables.
She knows you well.
What? Tonowitz? Tonowitz? Close enough? Is that what it was?
Oh, shit. Sorry, potty mouth.
Hello, is that better?
I still hear echo for some reason. Okay. That's weird. I have my earphone on, so it shouldn't be echoing.
Hang on, I'm going to try to fix it. Hello, is this fixed?
That is so weird. I hear this crazy echo.
Still?
Still.
Oh, do you have the chat room open?
Do you have the Ustream?
Maybe.
On? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Hit,
okay.
Hit pause on that. On that.
How do I do that? Oh gosh, your time. Okay, I'm just gonna.
Where it says pause. Oh, yes.
I couldn't figure it out, so I just closed up the page.
Just as well.
That works too.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
Now.
Ah.
All right. So, welcome to the show.
Oh well, thank you very much for having me, Faz. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you emailed and were contributing, so it's like, I appreciate that. Let's see here. I've met you at a couple of the conventions in Minnesota, SpringCon or FallCon, and were you at Mix?
I was not, because I actually had a dance assignment out in North Dakota. I was too busy hula hooping and playing with puppets in the middle of the night and getting free drinks. So, you know, I'm sorry to say, but free drinks trumps comics anytime. But
okay, now I know you have, like, whenever I've been by your booth, you always have, I would guess they're kind of like almost like zines or like you self.
Yes, they are very much like zines. It's kind of tradition. When I first started doing comics and zines, when I was 15 years old when I started doing that. And basically all of the comics you see on the web are either start out as zines or eventually turn into zines. I'm trying to get a little more polished, though, trying to make them look more comic booky, which is, I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
But you still have comics on the web as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of, like I said, a lot of those zine-like mini comics start out as web comics and vice versa. So they just kind of feed on each other in some way. So that'd be pretty accurate.
And I was trying to find it. Catnose.com is where you're going to have your stuff.
Yeah, that's the main business website, which also has archives of a comic that technically is on hiatus probably until next year. But I, with that one, because on Catnose, the Nine Lives of Catnose, which is the main webcomic there, has had a pretty long-standing following. I mean, I started doing Nine Lives of Catnose back in 1998 as a print thing, and because it has that existing following, I really hate to put it on full hiatus because people get really crabby. So what I do is, a lot of times, because I'm just, I believe in recycling, I just put it through reruns, and people seem to receive that surprisingly well. As long as there's a new comic every week, you know, they're not like emailing me, when is the next comic coming? Oh my God, I'm gonna die. I'm like, chill out here. And it's funny too, because originally I did the Nine Lives of Catnose, the online version, for a website. It was kind of like a modeling and adult star portal. And it was monthly. But, you know, as I've been putting the reruns out weekly, people, like, if for some reason my buffer isn't working right, and with WordPress sometimes that happens, people freak out. They're like emailing, like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. So I found that when I'm on hiatus, unless the comic just absolutely gets on my nerves and I don't want to deal with it at the time, I like to put it on reruns, especially if it has a good viewership. So I just treat the webcomics as if they were TV programs, which that's also weird, but seems to work.
I've never thought of doing reruns for a webcomic before. I figure, you know, you just click back to first and go through the archive.
Actually, Ape Not Monkey has been doing, did some reruns this last week, and from what I understand, it seems to work better than guest comics. I know that when I went on, you know, little hiatus back when I was doing Betapond, and I would go off on a week or something, and have guest comics, I lost everybody. I'd have like 3 readers that week, and it was ridiculous. But apparently, not the same issue when you run guest reruns.
I completely agree with that, Tanya. I mean, I like to put guest comics, but I put them like on separate blog posts because people react a lot better that way. But if I do guest comics in place of my regular comics, people get mad or they just go away.
I don't understand that.
They hate it.
Yeah, they came to see your stuff.
See, Obsidian of Commissioned Comic, he posted like a couple of fan, you know, he's friends with these people.
Yeah.
He likes these people. He likes putting these guest strips up. And apparently his audience is just, I don't know, some of the audience is just like, I would call them assholes for just
Hating
so much. It's like, what the hell is your problem? It's a free webcomic.
Mm-hmm.
The artist is, the creator is sharing something of other people who care enough, and he cares enough to put them on, and is like, bitch, bitch, bitch.
75%. I lost at least 75%, if not more, of my readers. And it moved on into the following week, too. Like, it took a long time for people to even come back. It's like they were offended.
Oh, my God, Tanya. I like, seriously, you are, like, echoing my effort. Because I actually had one of my colorists, because I schedule, now the way I do it, it's like a lot of it is months ahead. Like, my highest rated comic in terms of traffic, it's done 6 months ahead of time.
Nice.
And my colorist was like, because I was asking her for feedback on new ways to, you know, creative ways to promote, because I like to get feedback from my staff and my freelancers about that, because they have a lot to put in. Yeah. You know, if not the copyrights, they definitely have, they should have input. I totally owe it to them.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, why don't you do web comics? I'm like, no, they're poison. Basically, they're okay on the blog. If I put them on the blog, like, oh, here's what fan art was contributed. Oh, here's a wonderful guest comic from, if I do it on a blog post, it's awesome. People are like, whoa. But if I dare put it on the main comic post, you know, on the little next thing, they get pissed. Freak and I out. Don't even understand it. They freak out.
I mean, it's just an oddity. Yeah. And I always kind of liked it because then, you know, maybe I'd follow new comics because of it. But, you know, it's a bad idea.
I agree.
I did better if I just didn't post anything for a week than I did when I put up guest
comics.
Well, maybe I need to put a little note. We'll be right back. Please enjoy this from my friend.
Oh, no, they knew. I had told people in advance. I did a whole comic about how the next week was going to be guest comics. No, madness. They were mad.
Even with when you're introducing an additional artist who's working with you, I've learned to, like, I let them know, like, months ahead of time, okay, this person is going to be replacing me on this aspect, any aspect. Even if I have, like, a different colorist or someone flatting my comic, I let people know ahead of time. I'm like, okay, this person is going to do it. I'm training them. I'll sometimes put a comic showing how I'm training them. You know, and just get them used to the presence and then spring the new talent on them. Because otherwise,
I think it's just change.
I just don't even
understand.
They just
don't like change. They want the same thing that they went, you know, they want the same thing that they got yesterday in a slightly different iteration. And, So reruns are better.
I think I have a theory. I have a theory on this. It could be, depending on where the majority of your audience came from, that were introduced to your comic, like Voss, it sounds like you probably got a lot of people that came from your print, and maybe they didn't know about other webcomics or how the community
all of my readers were webcomic readers. They weren't print readers, and they responded the same way.
But it's the idea is that maybe they were introduced to your comic, and that's what they knew, and they don't understand that the majority of the webcomics community, this is normal. It's acceptable, because I think it's overall acceptable.
Fest, with all due respect, you're absolutely wrong. Because if you look at the Nine Lives of Catnose, if you look at the Nine Lives of Catnose, you will notice that because it was monthly, like the style's different. Like the style just shifts. And I only did it on my free time. That was definitely a hobby comic. I was just doing it because I was dancing. And I'm like, hey, by the way, I have a comic, which of course made people more interested in my dancing. But, you know, but the people that came over in print were just happy to have the comic show up. So, I mean, they didn't care what it looked like. They didn't care if I had guest comics. It wasn't until I started doing my webcomic only stuff like Rasputin Bashotka did not even have any sort of print presence until this year. And it's been around, I believe, since, I want to say 2008. And, like, seriously, I'm not even kidding. That crowd is more resistant to change than the print people. The print people are like, oh, zine. Okay, we're just happy to have zine. Whereas the webcomic people is like, what is this? How dare you? You are interrupting our...
I have no theories that I'm trying to put. See, I try to put some logic into some of this craziness that happens.
I think it just comes down to they don't like change. And, you know, all of my readers were really webcomic readers. I wasn't pulling them from bizarre sources. They were webcomic readers. You know, many of the people, you know, I watch my traffic would come from another webcomic to mine or go to another webcomic from mine. So it's not like they were new and didn't understand that guest comics occur. They knew that it happened. They just didn't like them.
Ungrateful bastards.
No.
just run reruns.
Like I said, on a separate blog entry. Put it on a separate blog entry. You won't have those problems at all. Because they're like, oh, it's a blog entry. It's a guest thing. How cool is that? But then you put it on the main. It's just weird. But like I said, I've never had, like, for people who read Polska Sucka or The Nine Lives of Catnose, I never, ever had any problems with them freaking out. In fact, like when I was doing the print version of Sucka, I would purposely change the style and like make the story as incoherent as I could because it's for the fun. I mean, it was supposed to be portraying a drug addicted midget with green hair in Poland who was out there most of the time. So the print people were so open to just like me suddenly shifting styles and going on one point that wouldn't be revealed to like months or years later. I mean, I think one of my readers for the print one, for the print version of Sucka was, I read this comic and hope that you will answer the questions on faith. I mean, that's what she told me. You know, the print people are just, they're just glad that someone is doing print, but webcomic people, they can go to, you know, like the wikis, they go on the forums, they tell you if there's anything missing. Oh my gosh, you forgot this tattoo, you forgot to put this body hair on this. I mean, it's just,
heaven forbid,
because they have more.
Holy hell.
Oh god. Oh my god. So, but they can go back to the archives and then they can compare. You know, I think that's what it is. They have more access to information.
Yeah.
So they are a little more critical about what you do than print people. Because like I said, print people are just grateful that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays. They're just like, oh my god. It totally is.
Okay, so tell us a bit about, I guess, the hiatuses, since...
Okay. Basically, how I work out the hiatuses, the one way that the hiatuses happen is matters beyond my control. That's the worst reason to have a hiatus. I mean, that kills my audience fast, like almost as fast as having a guest comic. If I have like a hiatus that I don't give people warning about, they just get mad and they don't come back and they don't tell you anything. Like even with one of my little blog, you know, like my little webcomic blog, which isn't really a webcomic so much as a blog. It's hard to explain. That's the Uber Smart blog. And like one of my comics just didn't show up on the buffer. And one of my comic people, I noticed that the readership just went to the toilet for 2 days, and I actually I apologized for having a problem in the buffer, and I tweeted it, and then, oh my gosh, that's why you didn't post it, we thought you were done with it. I'm like, what? But because they were expecting it every single day, they thought that because, you know, my WordPress had a technical issue, I gave up on the comic and went away. I'm not even kidding.
24 hours, that's all it takes.
24 hours is all it takes. I'm not even kidding you. And then the most devastating, you know, thing that I ever had happen with my webcomics on an involuntary hiatus. My husband and I went to Duluth for a video shoot, and it was fantastic. There was no phones, nothing. And we were like in oh gosh, how is it? Manitou Park? Oh, can't remember the first part, but it was just gorgeous. No phones, nothing. I find out when we went to Grand Marais to, you know, check internet, and I find out from my web provider, oh yeah, you went over your allotted use, you know, CPUs. Oh, no, it wasn't bandwidth, it was CPUs. Oh. Because okay. I was having a performance in the Twin Cities, and it just so happened that a lot of people came from the St. Paul Pioneer Press to check out my website. And apparently, that was bad. And apparently, like, my comics had been offline for 3 days, and I'm just freaking talking to the web provider. And, of course, they're, like, wanting me to pay $99 a month to rectify this. I'm like, no. And I was looking for different web hosts, and it, like, even the transferring thing, like, they shut it down so I couldn't even transfer my comics to a new host. So I had to build completely new websites from scratch and from whatever I could salvage. So my comics were offline for about, I would say, for about a month or so. And it was really horrible because all the combined unique visitors I had from the different site, I probably could easily safely say about 1,000 or so, you know, like every day I had 1,000 uniques. Now, because of that, I'm lucky if it's in the double or triple digits. Because, yeah, I lost a lot of momentum. I lost a lot of momentum, and I'm basically starting over with the marketing. I mean, it was absolutely devastating because people, I mean, even since where I was listing comic finished, you know, like, and this was in spite of the fact that I was putting, you know, notices on Twitter and whatever networking sites I was on, letting people know, no, they haven't gone away. We're just having some major, major issues, but that killed my audience. I mean, I lost so much viewership, and I'm still struggling to recover from that. That's why I'm doing 6-month buffers now. And yeah. I actually have a backup plan that if this ever happens again, I have I have some websites like on LiveJournal and things like that where I can reroute the traffic until things are fixed. So at least now I have a disaster plan. But no, that involuntary hiatus was the worst because people they actually thought that all of my comics were done and I just quit. And actually, to be fair, that does happen. I've seen web comics that I loved and I've been following every week and it's like the greatest, and then all of a sudden they disappear. All it is like a cyber squatter page left. So that was really devastating. I hate logging into a webcomic
and finding a cyber squatter page. That's just your heart falls.
I only find that for comics I haven't visited for like a year. It's like usually otherwise it's like always like the same last page that I saw is like, well, they still not updated after a year. I still hold out a hope because it's in a folder in my bookmarks and I'll check it every couple of months, but I guess if I see like a cyber squatter page, I assume somebody attacked the website or something happened. And so I just keep waiting. But
oh, that's actually really, I wish all of my fans like that. Cause seriously, that would be my dream fan. Actually, yeah. I do have fans like that. And I had ones that are like, we knew you weren't gone. But most of them just get like indignant and go away.
Wow.
Where's my free fix? Where's my free fix?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They want the alcohol. They want their crack. Their crack meth. Their webcomic crack meth. But that's the one. That's the main reason. You know, that's the main and worst reason why webcomics would go into hiatus. Now, my other reason for webcomics going into hiatus.
Oh, did we lose her?
For my webcomic. Hmm?
Oh, there you are. What? Oh, wait,
no,
we lost
here.
Mark now.
I'm here. All right. Oh, you hear me now.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we got you. I think we lost Mark.
Yep, we lost Mark. Well, there he comes back.
Oh, no.
So the other reason you go on hiatus, as you were saying, is what?
I view my webcomics as program.
Mm-hmm.
Content. No, it's programming. It just is in slow motion.
Right.
And I treat it like, you know, television. I look at my ratings. I look at my interest in the comic itself. I look at traffic. I take into consideration how much budget I have for a project. I take all those things into consideration. I make decisions about whether a comic or comics go into hiatus or not, taking those things into consideration. And that seems to work really well because then I usually have like at the beginning of every season, you know, like for example, on September 21st, it's going to be the new season of programming at Cat Nose Comics. So I will announce like all the comics that are coming back for the season, all the comics that are going into hiatus and when they're scheduled to come back. And that way people actually do come back to those comics that have been in hiatus, which works really great. Cause then they know, oh, okay, my web comic isn't going to update till then. So I don't have to have a panic attack. And that seems to really help. And then if a web comic is in hiatus for long enough, and no one's visiting it, and I'm not interested in it. Because sometimes even if I get interested in something again, or I might start it up again. Like, that happened with Sucka, because I was kind of pissed off about it.
Good.
And that comic infuriates me because it's so weird that it gets even on my nerves, and I was about to cancel it till someone, like, I really love Sucka, and I was just like, guilt trip. All right, I'll start it up again. Damn it. So, but for the most part, taking, you know, financial, you know, timing, whether my staff's available into consideration, I decide what's going to go on a season, what's going to go. And if there's no staff, there's no money, there's no interest, and I say, the webcomic gets canceled. That's kind of what happened with Somewhere in Fargo. Used to have really good viewership. But it just so happened that one of the lead artists had a religious moment, and I lost her. And nothing personal. I totally respect her. I think she's phenomenal. But she just kind of took a different turn in her life. And I just said, well, I can't draw like her. And so, people aren't. And I didn't have enough time to train in someone to replace her, because she really didn't give me any warning that she was leaving, other than, I'm working for this Christian graphic design firm. That's the only warning I got. And so basically, because I didn't have enough time to inform the viewers, and I really didn't have time to train in a replacement artist, then I just had no choice, and I had to cancel that. And stuff like that happens. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It just happened. Some webcomics, just people just don't care.
Yeah.
So you can't, and you can't force content on people. Yeah. They're the ones that decide whether something is relevant or interesting on them to them. So, and if there's no viewership, on.
You can always try to. Do, you know, maybe a couple different things, you know, see if there's maybe another format or a different kind of venue, or, you know, play around with it a little bit. But eventually, it's like you say, you know, people aren't going to read it. They're not going to read it. And, you know, maybe, yeah, maybe it's more drastic changes that are needed.
Yeah. And usually when it gets to that point, I find that when I read the comic myself, objectively, then I realize, wow, this is crap. Out there. But yeah, and sometimes there's some that people think that the comic is crap, yet they come to the comic and all of a sudden I'm like making $20 a week in advertising revenues or more. You know, there was like with Sucka again, because for some reason that's just the bane of my existence. It has been like that since high school. But like there was one time where it was insane too, because there was like thousands of people showing up, you know, just kind of because it was on a bad art site. And to be fair, the way I censored it, it looked horrible. But yeah. I mean, I'm not going to die. I fixed the censorship looked on that. So I'm like, okay. So I thought it was good constructive criticism in that way. But for the most part, it was a flame post. And I'm just like, you know,
thanks
when people say, yeah, exactly. Thanks for
the
traffic. But I noticed that when people claim they hate some, dedicate an entire blog post and post different examples of the images, they actually like it. They're just in denial about the fact that, wow, I have no taste. It's kind of like Rebecca Black. No, everyone says, I don't like Rebecca Black. She sings the worst singer in the world. Okay, then why are you singing Friday, not Friday, like every turn? Because they do.
Yeah,
they do. But when there's silence, that's when people actually hate your comic. And usually there's a really good reason why. So that's.
And it might not be that it's like a crappy comic, too. It might just be this isn't the right audience. Sometimes there are great comics that don't work on the web.
Totally.
You look at some of the really popular Sunday Funny comics that, you know, people get all up in arms when the paper cancels it. They would have died on the web in the first month.
Oh, God, I know, right? Yeah, and I have comics like that work really well offline, but just don't ever take off. I mean, there was a few comics that I did that were absolutely fantastic. I mean, I love them. Yeah. But basically, every time I tried putting them on the web, crickets.
Yeah.
Just crickets.
Hello. Welcome to my
hello. Speaking hello.
It's in my world. It's all I have.
I think Mark has it.
Yeah. We're getting if I could measure traffic in cricket chirps, I would be king of the web. I would be.
I think, though, that yours is one of those things where it's just kind of the wrong
sucks.
Format. No, it's a great comic. I think it's just not a web.
It needs to be in print.
Comic.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're close to the end of the show.
We're done.
We're well over the sort of
oh,
the end.
Oh, jeez. Sorry.
No, that's quite all right.
It's good. No, it was good discussion.
Yeah,
you made a lot of good points.
Yeah, I underestimate how these call-in shows will go sometimes. And it's like, sometimes it's like,
always.
Sometimes we need more filler. Sometimes we're going over. So it's good and all right. And, of course, Voss, thanks very much for coming on the show. You can check out Voss Little Crow's work, her online work at catnose.com, right?
Yep.
Catnose.com.
That is correct.
Follow her on Twitter at Catnose Comics. Let's see. I went
through. Is that nose with an N or a K? Catnose.
And nose, as in my nose has a thing in the middle.
It's a cat nose.
Cleft in the middle, so it looks like a cat nose. Start to read and wrote an article about it. Don't ask. Anyway.
And all right. Well, I'll probably be seeing you around at FallCon then.
Provided that I can find a ride there, that would be great because I can't drive anymore. So my legs gave out. So I know you're that's what the answer is. You dance for long enough, eventually your legs will die.
I know. I have stress fractures in both of my knees that cause
you
both.
Too. Oh my god!
Yeah, jazz ballet, contemporary, and Broadway. Kidding. Heck yeah.
Okay.
Oh gosh,
so if you can get injured that way with the dancing, why do you women always want a guy to dance?
It's different. You know, that kind of dancing is much different.
It's
different. Yeah.
Yeah. What you're doing out at the club is not going to kill you.
It's cute. What you're doing at the club is cute. What we do for the stage is we suffer for our art, damn it.
It's deforming. Yeah.
If anything is a good description of webcomics, there you go. So once again, Voss, thanks for coming on the show.
Bye.
All right, we are towards the end. We were at the end of this show. I want to thank all of our guests for being there, replying to my calls for stories of Hiatus and Returns. Unironically, my comic is going on hiatus, but I'll be coming back in December because I need to get other projects done, goddammit. And this one's by choice. I am in control of this hiatus, son of a bitch.
Hiatus is not in control of you.
Yes. I will say that one thing that got me out of hiatuses in the past... We're basically doing sketches of other people's characters, especially by request. The last one was drawing your character heartbroken, and that was like the best one ever.
People, so that's how we keep them from coming back. We don't ask for sketches now. Remember now.
Well, you're a bad person.
Yeah. So, and then, Mark, when you come back, you can tell us your story.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I just honestly... Do you know why I guess my comic is on hiatus? I don't think of it that way, but yeah. I'm not drawing it, so I guess, yeah.
That's a hiatus.
Yeah, when you're not updating,
I just fell out of the habit of doing it, honestly. That's why.
I think you need to start doing some fan art or guest art for other webcomics. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, put a request out there, and it's like, Mark Savory will draw your character in his style, you know, like a sketch or something like that. Or you can do more if you want. And then just get the drawing juices going, you know, just that you're doing something. Because it was, for me, is that I was drawing something that I didn't have to worry about the quality as much. I didn't have to worry about, like, I didn't have to worry about, oh, it's my comic. I don't like how this is. I have to redraw it. Oh, it has to be structured. It has to tell a joke. It's just drawing a sketch of something. It doesn't have to be part of a comic or anything. It's just you're drawing, and you don't have to worry too much about it. You're just, and you're getting to the action of drawing. That is what really helped me.
Oh, well, good.
So, I highly recommend it. You too, Tanya.
Yeah, because I've got all kinds of time for that stuff. Yeah, desire is not the issue. The issue is time, and you know, your skills just deteriorate day by day the longer you're not drawing. So the longer I don't draw, the longer it's going to take me to be able to get back to a level where I can do it. So it's diminishing returns right now.
Yeah. I have a few bits of news. I know this is like an hour and a half long episode now, but I have a few bits of news I want to go over it, regarding the future of the Webcomic Beacon and the Webcast Beacon Network. December 4th, I'm going to be marking that as the 4th anniversary special for the Webcomic Beacon podcast. I am going to try to get strippers. At least one stripper. She does a comic called Pink Parts.
I know Pink Parts.
So yeah, somebody says like you should get strippers on your next anniversary. It's like, well, I don't want. It's like I don't think that's a really appropriate. Then it's like, wait a minute, I know a stripper that does a webcomic. That's related. There we go.
You can get away with it.
Yes. And I'm gonna see what else I can get for this. I want the fourth one to be really special. By then, also, I think in November, actually, the Tropecast and the Newscast are going to hit their first year. So that's kind of cool, too. Also, wanted to say, for any, like, sort of art for charity or comics for charity sort of, like, event or things like that, send me an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, or if it's, like, web fiction for charity, then at webfictionworld@gmail.com, and request a free sponsorship spot. And you know, those sponsorship spots we have for sale, well, if you're like an art for charity sort of thing, I'll give out free sponsorships if there's like an unpurchased sponsorship just waiting there. Figure that'd be, you know, for a good cause and such. I mean, if you listen to the show, you pretty much know that I mean, unless there's like some sort of like hateful sort of charity for some reason, I can't see why I would say no.
If the KKK is gearing up for their next big picnic, that's not going to happen.
And they're having an art contest.
The Tea Party, speaking of.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said no.
Yeah, so.
Same thing, mostly. But anyway.
Hey. Yeah. Things
it's
like...
all just about who they hate. That's the only difference.
Yeah. let's see here, and the thing with in December, I think we're only gonna have the 4th of December as a show, because I am unavailable for the rest of the, well, I'm unavailable on the 18th and the 25th, and the second Sunday we're already gone, so for that month I might be looking at like recording some off schedule episodes.
We can record stuff ahead of time.
Well, we can try to, but if not, I might be looking
to... It's Christmas!
To...
We gotta do stuff!
Well, I'll be gone those entire weekends.
Well, yeah, but if we record it all ahead of time, and then you can just have it scheduled to release at a certain date.
Well, the idea I was trying to get, the point I was trying to get at is that I know for sure I can record off-schedule interviews of like maybe like grab like do some EPs of some like short topics or particular like events, like we like how I did like the 30 characters challenge, which was an off schedule that was plugged into the releases, you know, some things like that. If anybody has any ideas, or if I can even do community showcases, in which we'd have several people on. I'd try to get Mark or Tanya on if they happen to be available, but, you know, things like that, things that I can record off schedule and then inject into a release schedule, so that there's something for people, because I really hate to run reruns, but apparently that works.
Well, now, we said it works for webcomics. It may not work for podcasts. Those are different audience, you know.
Or maybe I could take an old show and we can just start off with like, hey, do you remember the time we talked about blah blah blah, and then we play the
wavy sounds.
Yeah. I play like the harp music of going into the flashback, and then just throw in an entire episode, and then there we go.
Yeah, I like it.
You know what? I think I'll try that at some point.
Not a rerun, it's a flashback.
Yeah, it's a flashback. But anyway, so that is it for Webcomic Beacon today here at webcomicbeacon.com.
Take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I have been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesAndShipProductions.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.